So we have a 71-year-old dude, and he has lower left quadrant pain and a fever, tachycardia, and he passes away. And he's got a weird yellowish coating on the surface of the liver. Questions asking you what this coating is. Now, this guy had diverticulitis, okay, which is going to be an elderly patient with lower left quadrant pain. Do not confuse diverticulitis with diverticulosis. Diverticulosis is very common. It just means the presence of diverticulae, but they're not inflamed. 50% of the population in the United States over age 60 has diverticula, which is consist which is which just means diverticulosis. And then one of those diverticula can get inflamed, and then we call it diverticulitis. And it's usually in the sigmoid colon, and it can be presenting as lower left quadrant pain. That's how it's going to be on the USMLE, and it's always going to be an elderly patient, okay? So that's our diagnosis here, and they want you to know that this yellowish coating is fibrin. Now, why fibrin? No fucking idea, okay? It's just the result of inflammatory processes in the peritoneal cavity where you clearly have an infection taking place. And there's going to be neutrophils, macrophages, there's going to be secretion of cytokines, chemokines, various chemotactic molecules, and it's ultimately going to lead to the deposition of fibrin. Now, USMLE can give you Fitzhugh Curtis syndrome as well, where they might say 28-year-old girl, history of PID, pelvic inflammatory disease, and it's extended to the liver capsule. That's what Fitzhugh Curtis syndrome is. She passes away, and they show you a picture of the liver. And it has a yellowish coating on it, and they just ask you for fibrin, same thing. So this seems really weird, like a one-off question, but I'm telling you, there's actually two versions of it, and this is the second example apart from Fitzhugh Curtis. Now, this is not so weird in like an overall sense if you've done clinicals with surgery questions, okay? Because fibrous adhesions in the peritoneal cavity are the most common cause of SBO, small bowel obstruction, and that's one of the highest yield points for surgery. So, a patient will have history of surgery on the abdomen, whether it be cesarean section, laparotomy, and then they go on months or years later to have high-pitched bowel sounds, or they can have complete obstruction with obstipation, which means you're not passing stool, that's constipation, or flatus, gas. If you're not passing both, that's called obstipation. So, patient can have obstipation or can have high-pitched bowel sounds. High-pitched bowel sounds is partial obstruction. Absence of bowel sounds, complete obstruction. So, my point, for surgery, extremely high yield, knowing that history of surgery on the abdomen can cause inflammation in the peritoneal cavity, fibrous adhesions. Those are fibrin, fibrous, okay? So these are just adhesions in the di as a result of diverticulitis from inflammation, as Fitzhugh Curtis syndrome from PID, inflammation, fibrin. Okay, really fucking weird, I know, but nevertheless, it's the answer they want, and they ask this on the NBMEs for step one. Now, what about the other answer choices? Dermatan sulfate and heparan sulfate. Those spellings are correct. Okay, it's not heparin like the drug, the anticoagulant. It's not heparan sulfate and dermatan sulfate. These are glycosaminoglycans. These are extracellular matrix molecules. You say, well, why couldn't those be right? I mean, deposition of extracellular matrix molecules. Yeah, I know. I don't necessarily have any qualms about that reasoning, but nevertheless, fibrin is what they want. Type 1 collagen, type 3 collagen, obviously wrong. Type 1 collagen's in bone, mainly also late wound healing, really important. Those are the two highest yield points about type 1 collagen for USMLE. You could name 50 different locations type 1 collagen is, 50 different ways type 1 collagen could show up in the human body by all means, but you just need to know bone and late wound healing. So osteogenesis imperfecta, it can give you blue sclerae, okay, and fractures at different stages of healing. That's your highest yield pathology for type 1 collagen. And then when you cut yourself, the initially when it's healing, it appears pink. Okay, that's early wound healing. That's granulation tissue. That is actually type 3 collagen. So early wound healing, type 3 collagen, and then it's replaced with type 1 collagen over 6 weeks to 6 months, and that's going to be whitish in color, slightly It's got a slightly greater tensile strength than type 3 collagen. But type 1 collagen is white with late wound healing after 6 weeks. Type 3 collagen, pink, okay? Type 3 collagen also in vessels. That's probably the highest yield point for U.S. Mammalian, that type 3 collagen is in your aorta, okay? So Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, vascular subtype, mutation in type 3 collagen, that's the highest yield pathology for U.S. Mammalian for type 3 collagen. So you can obviously get aortic dissection with that. You can also get Barry aneurysms, saccular aneurysms. I could go off for a while. I mean, I've essentially chatted about this more than I have about the actual question, but I'm just going through some of the high yield points you need to know nevertheless. So your take home here is that fibrin adhesions can be seen in the setting of inflammation in the peritoneal cavity, whether it be diverticulitis. It could by all means be Fitzhugh-Curtis syndrome. It can be surgery, post-surgery. And when you do your clinicals, your small bowel obstruction with fibrous adhesions, exceedingly high yield. Okay, that's it.